Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Mark's. I'm so glad you could join us this day. Today we are observing an event that happens every November 1st, which is All Saints Day. And in our tradition, we typically honor those loved ones who have passed away in the faith in the past year. And so today is when we'll be observing that. And so the sermon theme will be kind of revolving around that idea as we give thanks to God for the loved ones who have passed away. At this time, I will pivot it to Pastor Bob to take over.
All right. Good morning, my friends. Just so you know, today, Pastor Josh and I are not going to be talking to any of you. And it's not because we don't like you. It's because we actually do, and we're both not feeling real great. And we don't really want to pass that on to all the rest of you. So the way it's going to work today is Pastor Josh is not going to be teaching Bible study after the sermon or after the service today. My dad, Pastor Bill, is going to be teaching down in room, oh my, where was it? No, it's room 105. Yes. That's okay. Your heart's in the right place. All right, so the thing is Pastor Bill is also going to be consecrating the elements and handling communion for us today once again so that we don't come into contact with each and every one of you. And after the service, we're going to sneak out of here very quickly. So that's kind of the plan for this morning. Just pray for us. We're recovering. We're on the uphill swing. It's just we're not there yet. All right, with that then, my dear friends, we are gathered here in our Father's house this morning, and we, regardless of what we bring here, our sickness, our disease, and our sin, and our all the things that we have brought here, our God meets us here with his strength and his forgiveness. And so let us begin remembering the day we were brought into the family of God in our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have welcomed us once again into your house, Lord, not because we deserved it, Lord, but because you love us so much that you cover us with your righteousness and make it possible for us to stand in your presence. Lord, that we are able to come to you in prayer and expect you to hear us, Lord, because of your incredible love and this cloak of righteousness that you've given us to wear. Lord, I pray that you would work in us this morning through your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to understand, remember, and to grasp onto this incredible message of salvation that we have been given. Lord, all this we bring to you in your holy name. Amen. My friends, let's confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this, and I ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's return praise and thanksgiving to this God who loves us so much.
Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his.
Oh God, how I need. temptation comes my way. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Morning. The first scripture reading for today is Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was not on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. This is the word of the Lord.
The scripture reading for today is Matthew 22, verses 23 to 33. That same day, the Sadducees, who say that there is no resurrection, came to him with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses told us that if a man dies without having children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up offspring for him. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first one married and died, and since he had no children, he left his wife to his brother. The same thing happened to the second and the third brother, right down to the seventh. Finally, the woman died. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be? Of the seven, since all of them were married to her. Jesus replied, You are in error, because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. When the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. This is God's word for us today. It is now also time for the children's message. So kiddos, if you guys would come forward at this time, Miss Lauren has the message for you today.
Good morning, friends. How are you today? Are you good? It's so good to see each and every one of you here this morning. I have a question for you. Who is someone that has taught you about Jesus?
My dad.
Your dad? Your parents?
My mama.
Your mama?
Yeah.
Your grandmas and grandpas? Lots of people, right? Well, today is a really special day. in the church year. It's a day we call All Saints Day, a day where we get to remember people that have taught us about Jesus that have been here before us. And so, actually, I was thinking of some examples that even God gave us in the Bible. So I'm going to show you some pictures. There'll be pictures up there, or I have some here. Do you know what this is? The Bible, right? So my friend Sawyer here is going to help me read. Let's look at the first one. Okay, I'm going to show you this picture.
This part talks about the Bible. This part of the Bible talks about a man named Abraham who had a great trust in God.
Okay, has anyone heard of Abraham before? Right? So he was a man that had great trust in God. Okay. I'll do this one next.
This part of the Bible talks about Moses. Moses led God's people out of slavery in Egypt.
Wow, amazing things God did through him. I picked one more. Here's a picture here.
This part of the Bible talks about the disciples, such as John, James, and Peter.
And so many more. I was thinking how amazing it was. God gives us people we know. God gives us people in the Bible. I was thinking of some people here at St. Mark's who are friends of mine who have such great faith, and I wanted to know where they learned about Jesus from. So if they want to come up, they have a pictures to show you too of someone that has taught them about Jesus. So my friends are going to come up, so you can stay right there, and they're going to come show you some pictures, and you guys can come. I think you can come up here. Does that sound good? Come on up. And you guys can look this way. They'll show you their pictures. I'll have you line up here. And these are some amazing ladies. And there's so many more that I know, but I wanted to hear about people that taught them about Jesus. So here we go.
Hi. The person that's, I have many people that taught me about Jesus, but the person I'm going to share today is my dad, Darwin Krause. He taught me how to love others the way that God loves us and how to tell others about Jesus.
I have a picture of my grandma, and here she is snuggling her two youngest great-grandbabies. And she taught me a lot about Jesus, and the way she best showed her love for Jesus is how she loved her family and took care of them.
Good morning, boys and girls. I bet there's one thing you don't know about me. It's my picture of my mother. This is my mother when she was a very young lady, and she taught me every day and every night about Jesus. And I wanted to share this book, not to read the whole thing, although I could. But see, she would read this book to me and my brothers and sisters, and I still have this book. One of the things I wanted to tell you, there was a friend of mine who didn't go to church, and every Saturday night, this friend for about 2 years would come over to my house and spend the night so she could go to Sunday school with me the next morning. And I never realized what a sacrifice that was until I had kids. And I just thought that was a wonderful thing to do, to share that love of Jesus with my friends.
And I brought pictures of my grandma. This is what my grandma looked like when she was in her 20s. Her name was Helen Hungsmeyer. And this is the lady I knew. As my grandma got older, that's what she looked like. And my grandma loved music. And she was the church organist. She played piano. She loved singing. And her house was always filled with music. And she was always sharing stories from the Bible and hymns that she loved and teaching me about Jesus. And her favorite hymn was called How Great Thou Art. And so that was my grandma.
Okay, well, good morning, boys and girls. I brought a picture of my husband when he was very young. This was when he was going to the seminary. Do you know what that means? It's a special school where pastors learn to be pastors. So anyway, he went to the seminary and learned to be a pastor. And one of his favorite things for his whole lifetime was reading the Bible. Every day he had his Bible out learning something. So I learned a lot of things from him that I didn't know before. And what he loved most was to be able to tell people what he had learned about God in the Bible with all his studies. So he's in heaven now, as I think all these other people are too. And they're praising Jesus and having a wonderful time. And we'll all get to be there with them someday, because we know Jesus died for our sins on the cross, don't we? And all God's children said, yes.
Isn't that amazing? And you guys are a part of the story too, because guess what? Can you guys say All Saints Day? All Saints Day. Someday you'll have children, and then they'll have children, and then they'll have children. And you know what? They're going to know about Jesus because your moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas taught you, and you're going to teach them, and they're going to teach and teach and teach, because the Word of God is forever. The story will never change, and God will be here. His story is true forever, as long as time will go. And what a blessing we all get to be a part of that and know people who have taught us about Jesus. Will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, this is such a special day that we think of all the amazing people that you have worked through to carry on your important message. Lord, be with us as we also share your love, your grace, and your forgiveness with everyone that you meet. Help us to look at these people as amazing examples of how to do that, because you have used them to show us how, Lord. We love you so much. In your name we pray. And all God's children said, thank you. And thank you guys for sharing your special people today as well.
All right. Children, if you'd like to go to Little Worship, I invite you to go to the back and meet whoever's going to be directing you where that is to go. I'm going to grab myself a vessel to sit this on. Vessel wasn't really the right word. I don't know why that's the word that came to my mind. Stool, something. As Pastor Bob mentioned, I'm a bit under the weather, so I might be periodically drinking my tea. Hopefully you don't mind. But regardless, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So the Sadducees have a problem. Their problem really is that they are short-sighted, don't really have all the information they think they do. How they might sum up the problem is Jesus. As you might recall, this all began way back several weeks ago. We heard about how it was that Jesus went into the temple after processing into Jerusalem, and he overturns the money tables and says, you know, this is to be a house of God, this is not to be a den of thieves. And so afterwards, the Pharisees, some of the religious leaders, come to Jesus and say, well, what authority do you have for doing this? And there's a little bit of a discussion there, and Jesus says some parables against the Pharisees. 2 weeks ago, I talked about how it was that the Pharisees sent some of their disciples to try to trap Jesus. See, the tactics of just addressing him head on was not working, so they were trying to discredit Jesus. And so the Pharisees, rather than themselves go, try to send some of their disciples and the Herodians to trap him with the question about taxes. And so here we have today, the Sadducees are trying a turn. Hey, we're pretty smart guys. I think we could discredit this Jesus. We have this particular thing that we're sure is the case. We are certain, the Sadducees thought, that there's absolutely no resurrection after death. And so they come up with this seemingly bizarre hypothetical, although if you were to ever read the story of Judah and Tamar, it's not that bizarre. This is expounding a bit on it, though. They say, teacher, Moses said if a man dies having no children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now again, this practice was really for the protection of the widow, trying to make certain that she would be cared for, provided for. So the ideal would be that someone would provide for her an heir, a son, so that she would be able to actually be provided for and cared for by that son. It was all set up by God for her protection and provision. Regardless, there were seven brothers among us, and the first married and died, having no offspring, and left his wife to his brother. So to the second and third and down to the seventh. After them all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, which of the seven will her wife, will the wife of, nah, I can't speak, thanks. Which of the seven will she be married to? For they all had her. Again, I just, if you look through the Gospels pretty consistently, Jesus is very much in favor of women pretty consistently. And so the fact that they kind of treat this woman like property, you know, they all had her, is the translation. Regardless, Jesus answered them, "You're wrong. You know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was said to you by God?" And before I get there, I know it was just read earlier, I want to pause and look at where does that take place. And before I even do that, I have one other thing that's intriguing. I don't know if you ever have this experience where you're reading God's word, and you kind of see it at one level of understanding, and then later on God reveals there's an additional level of understanding. Here's one of my best examples. So in the prophet Hosea the prophet, his message that God gives him is basically all about how it is that Israel, God's people, have rebelled. They've chased after idols and false gods and different things, and how it is that despite that, God will in time bring them back into a restored relationship with him. Is a big summary of Hosea. But later on, Hosea chapter 11, it says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." And at the first level of reading that, I just think, oh, it's talking about the past. How nice. You know, God did these things for his people of old. He brought them out of the bondage of slavery in Egypt, which he did. But I mention this because Matthew, in his gospel, says, just after it is that Joseph, Jesus' adopted father, is warned in a dream, "Get away, because Herod is going to try to kill you." It says, "Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophets, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" The point I'm trying to make is, as I'm reading through prophet Hosea, nowhere at my first reading would I think, oh, and this is also talking about the Messiah that is to come. So sometimes God communicates something at one level that also has additional meaning, which is why it's important to read and reread your Bible. But I'm mentioning this in light of Exodus. Now, I got to be honest. Sometimes I like to put myself into the protagonist's shoes, or at least the human protagonist in the Bible, and be like, what would it be like for me? And so if I was out walking a dog, although I don't actually have a dog, I have a cat. So if I was out walking a cat, whatever that looks like to you, you're welcome for that picture. So I'm out walking a cat, and then, you know, imagine I'm in Eureka, and so it's all trees, and I see this tree out of the corner of my eye that seems to be on fire, and I'm thinking, whoa, what did I just see? Let me go back and look at that. And I'm glaring at this tree that's completely on fire, and yet the wood is not burning up at all, and none of the other trees nearby are getting caught on fire. And I'm just investigating this, thinking, should I call someone? Should I take a picture? This is kind of cool. And suddenly the tree says, "Joshua, Joshua." My reaction would not be to invite more information. It would be, grab the cat, and I'm out. So I give great credit to Moses for hearing a burning bush call his name, and he just holds tight. You know, he says, here it is, in Exodus chapter 3. He says, "Here I am, whoever you are that are talking to me with my name." And the bush says, "Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And God said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And again, first reading, if I didn't know what Jesus was going to say later on, I would take it a slightly different way. What I mean by that is, so my dad passed away 20 years ago about, and he was a very frugal individual. He was somebody who, back when Denny's used to give you a free grand slam on your birthday, that is what he ate, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. There was one year that Toys R Us had a raffle. When I and my two sisters were still kids, they had some kind of a drawing. He went to every Toys R Us in the Chicago area and wrote all three of our names down. That year, we won a bike and a skateboard and a Nintendo Entertainment System. That was my dad. So I mention this because anytime that I have a glimmer of that, like on my birthday, I like to get my free Starbucks and my free Jimmy John's. If there's other places that give free food and I'm aware of it, I will sign up for that. And I would say, yeah, I'm my father's son. I am. And so my natural reading of that as I'm seeing Moses encounter God is God saying, I still exist, therefore I am. But he's also talking about what happened in the past is how I would naturally read it. And so what Jesus says here is so profound. Something that at first reading, I don't think anyone would get, but Jesus says the truth. God doesn't say, well, I was the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. No, he says, I am the God of your fathers. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Mic drop. And all the crowd is just in awe of this. And it's an astounding thing because there's a lot of things that God doesn't reveal to us that we'd want to know. And the truth is sometimes we have a problem. And our problem is with God. Namely, that we want to know. We want to know the moment someone that we love dies, what happens to them at that moment. And God speaks pretty clearly about the end. He speaks about how just as Jesus was raised from the dead, so too will those who are in Jesus be raised. And we know about the resurrection from the dead and the life of the world to come. We profess this in our creed. But there's so much that we want to know. So much that we wish God would just tell us, well, what exactly happens when someone dies? What is their existence like at that point? And in our desires to know, we might craft for ourselves different gut feelings, hopes, desires. Well, I hope that they're blessing me in some way, or I hope that they're looking down on me, or any other fill-in-the-blank things. And I'm not trying to bash anyone for that. Mostly what I'm trying to emphasize and highlight is that what God does say is so crucial. He says, don't you get it? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Just as on Jesus hanging on the cross says to that other thief, today you will be with me in paradise. And so the thing that I can say with certainty is that those who die in Christ, they're with Jesus. What more do they need at that point? And I can say for certainty that they are alive because God is the God of the living and not of the dead. What more do you need at that point? And so it's okay. It is acceptable. It is understandable for us to mourn, to grieve the loss of the intimacy that we once had with loved ones. Those who we enjoyed having conversations with, those we enjoyed walking together with. For a period of time, we won't get to enjoy that like we once did, and that is a reason to mourn. But we don't mourn as those who have no hope. We don't mourn as those who are worried that it'll all just come to an end and nothing else. But no, we turn our eyes, we turn our hope to the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. The God who promises Though you die, yet shall you live. This is who our hope and our trust is in. And while there's a lot of things we wish we could know, we also trust the one who reveals these things and doesn't allow us to know these things. And in his will, that's okay. That's the one our hope is in. That's the one our trust is in. And that's the one that our hope is in for our own eternal life, for the day that we will pass away. For our trust is in him, that someday we will be united to Jesus in a way more profound than we are now. And we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Now, my friends, let's continue in worship. And as we do, let us collect the offering, which is a worshipful act, giving to God a portion of what he has given us, trusting in him to provide for us always. And as the offering is collected, I ask that you would please record your attendance in the folders that you find near your seats, and let us return praise and thanksgiving to God through song.
You are.
Our God is an amazing God. Reveals himself to us in Scripture. As we meditate on him and all that he is and all that he has done for us, we are left overwhelmed by who he is. My friends, we now have the opportunity to confess our faith in this God using the Apostles' Creed. Let us stand and let's confess this incredible God together and to each other. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite Bill Petrie forward. We are going to be commissioning the Stephen Ministry team that we have in our church, and he's going to speak to us a little bit about that.
All right, thank you. Like Bob said, I'm Bill Petrie. I'm very excited to be here, and good morning, St. Mark's. We are updating the Stephen's Ministry. Some of you probably don't even know we have a Stephen's Ministry, and that's why I'm here. We actually started this ministry training back in the fall of 2019, and we didn't complete it until the winter of 2020. Guess when that was? Right before the pandemic. But it was a blessing because we were still able to connect all of our Stephen's ministers with care receivers. And we found ways even to communicate with them despite not a lot of people wanting to get together face-to-face. Since then, we've learned that Stephen's ministry is very effective in some ways, but we could adapt it to meet the needs of more people in our church. Stephen's Ministries, if you don't know, is designed for long-term relationships, which is a great blessing for a lot. But some people don't have that need and just need a need for a short time, brief connection with someone. Others don't feel comfortable talking so in depth, and some simply don't have time for that long-term commitment. That is why we are going to expand the ministry to provide the opportunities to reach out for both long and short-term commitments to members who just need some support or encouragement. Our Stephen's ministers will continue to be available to continue to listen to, pray with, and support individuals during difficult times. But it doesn't have to be on a long-term, regular basis. It could be just a few conversations and prayers. It could be listening to and encouraging you through a specific situation. It could be an occasional checking in with you just to make sure that you're doing okay. Or it could be that long-term, ongoing relationship. Some of the reasons you might want to talk to a Stephen's minister would be loss of job, serious illness to yourself or one of your loved ones, grief, a problem child, a loved one's addiction, empty nest, big decision, new baby, baby going off to college, one of your babies having a baby, all kinds of good stuff. Jake just had his fourth baby on Wednesday, so had to give him a plug. Or a recent move even, right? So it doesn't have to be a huge issue. It can just be a situation to where you need a friend in Christ who will listen to you, pray with you, and keep the situation confidential. We want all St. Mark's members to know that you are not alone. You are loved, and you are welcomed here, just as you are. And because God loves you, we love you too. So back to you, Bob.
All right, if the Stephen Ministry team could come forward at this time. All right, my friends, you guys have been equipped and have been serving already as Stephen ministers. So now listen as we listen from God's word. The 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Brothers and sisters, each one of you has been comforted by God with the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for you. We will ask you now to join in serving our Lord and those in our congregation and neighborhood who need to be comforted. As the Lord Jesus has responded to your needs, we ask you to strive to respond to the needs of others. As the Lord Jesus took the burdens of the world on his shoulders and has been a friend to you in troubled times, we ask you to be a friend to those who are burdened under the stress of daily life. As the Lord Jesus has broken down barriers that separate you from God, we ask that you would heal divisions wherever you find them and strive to make people whole. As the Lord Jesus has revealed his presence to you through faith, we ask that you would share your personal experiences of faith with those around you so that they may also celebrate the presence of God in the world today. Are you prepared to meet all of these requests that we ask of you? If so, say yes with the help of God. Are you prepared to nurture the skills you have learned and use them in the service to others, to support, encourage, and build up and comfort all people in their needs? If so, say yes with the help of God. All right, now the congregation. We ask you as members of St. Mark's Lutheran Church to open your hearts to the ministry of these people and to pray for them that they may serve as effective servants of Christ. Are you prepared to meet this request? If so, say yes with the help of God. We also ask you to accept their ministry when you need help, to allow these individuals to work with you as you face the struggles in your life, that you may receive support and help from your Christian brothers and sisters. If you are prepared to meet this request, answer yes with the help of God. Are you prepared to serve as Stephen ministers at St. Mark's Lutheran Church and in our community? Good, you're getting the refrain. I like this. All right. In that case, because you have promised faithfully to serve the Lord Jesus and his people as Stephen ministers, I commend you to the care and guidance of the Holy Spirit as you in turn care for others. Work hard. Use the skills you have learned, releasing the gifts and talents the Spirit has given you so that you might be a blessing to the people you meet and care for. Continue to study. Reflect upon the situations you encounter. Pray for your own personal frustrations and the needs with others so that you might receive the same kind of care and love you offer others. Act boldly without fear, for Christ is with you. And may the God of peace sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and the soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with these people, Lord. You have given them special gifts, Lord, and talents, and provided for them opportunities. Lord, I pray that you would connect them to people they will be able to serve. Empower them with the Holy Spirit. Let them be quick to serve, patient in listening, and willing to share themselves with people. Give us thankful hearts for them and show them in times of stress and satisfaction a special measure of your mercy and joy. Give them strong faith. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to care for all of us as we move forward. All this we pray in your name. Amen. Now, go in peace and serve the Lord. And the rest of us, we now have an opportunity to come before our God and Father in heaven. And so let's pray. Please stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today, and we come before you in the middle of a really sinful and messed up world, Lord. We come before you in a world where people are confused, where people are terribly misinformed about you and about spiritual things. Lord, we come before you in a world that has so many wrong answers that are given with such confidence that it deludes people, causes them to walk in the wrong directions and hurt themselves, Lord, and bring dishonor to you. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be able to speak your truth, that we would be able to be your voice in the world, that we would be able to bear witness, Lord, to your great love, your great compassion, and the truth, Lord, that brings freedom. Lord, I pray that you would give us strength and confidence as we move into this world and to do so boldly. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with, Lord, all those who are suffering from the effects of sin. Lord, there's wars going on right now, and those who are suffering because of that conflict. Lord, I pray that you would be with them, that you would provide for them, that you would give them peace, Lord, and mostly, more than anything else, Lord, that you would offer a voice, Lord, to them to speak of your love and of your truth and the opportunity, Lord, that they have to have peace in the middle of the most horrible conflict. That's peace that surpasses our understanding because of your love for us and the forgiveness we've received because of your Son. Lord, I pray that you would be active in every single one of those places. Lord, I pray that for those who are sick, who are struggling with problems within their own bodies, Lord, live, Lord, in the lack of ability to do the things that they once did, Lord, but also, Lord, the fear of what is yet to come. Lord, I pray that you would help to calm our fears, Lord, that we would instead be able to trust in you, knowing that you are the God of the living, the God of the future, the God of our future, Lord, that we will live forever with you. And so there is no need for fear. Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with those who are suffering all different types of struggle and frustration in this world, from natural disasters, Lord, from Lord, every effect of sin. Be with each one of them, Lord, and be with us. Give us strength. Give us opportunities, Lord. Give us the resources so that we can help those who are in need. Lord, all of this we lay at your feet, because we cannot give anything away that you have not first given us. Lord, I pray that you would also be with our school, Lord, such wonderful children that you have gathered together. And Lord, all the children of our congregation, such amazing young people, and the faith that you have put in them, Lord, I pray that you would continue to build them up in their faith, continue to grow them, help them to not just believe in you, Lord, but that you would be the center of their life, that you would be the one who guides them through every decision, that you would be their one, the one that that gives them comfort. All this, Lord, we pray in your name, and we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Pastor Bill.
Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me."
I know you're hurting, I can see it in your eyes. So pull back the curtain, take off your disguise. Whoever told you you ain't worth the fight, the cross tells a story that'll change your mind. There's only love in the heart of God, no room for shame in his open arms. There's beauty from ashes, so come as you are. There's only love in the heart of God. Children, it's never too late. Run home to the Father, let him clothe you with grace. And bury your burdens, break free from your fear. Step out of the shadows, there's no judgment here. There's only love in the heart of shame in his open arms. There's beauty from ashes, so come as you are. There's only love in the heart of God. Oh, 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 oh. No, he's not sitting there shaking his head, writing you off, leaving you lost. He's not sitting there shaking his head, wishing he never went to that cross. He's not sitting there shaking his head, writing you off, leaving you lost. He's not sitting there shaking his head, he went to that cross, he went to that cross. Shame in his open arms. There's beauty from ashes, so come as you are. 'Cause there's only love in the heart of God. There's only love in the heart of God.
It's all about you, Jesus.
So as was mentioned, we're celebrating All Saints Day, and I appreciate how D.C. Lauren talked about in the children's message, remembering all those who have faithfully passed on the truth of God to the generations down to us. As well, on All Saints Day, it's customary to remember those who have died in the faith in the past year since the previous All Saints Day, and so I had reached out to the St. Mark's community asking for names of individuals who will be particularly remembered and given thanks for this day. And so we have one more petition to pray before we go to our closing song. Mighty and eternal God of the living, into whose keeping we entrust our loved ones, rejoice that you have rescued us from the power of death and raised us in Christ to dwell with him in everlasting life. Give to those who grieve the comfort of the promise of the resurrection of the dead and eternal life. Help us to look to you in our time of sorrow, remembering the cloud of faithful witnesses with which we are surrounded. Grant that we may one day share in the joys of those who now rest in your presence. This day we especially remember Ken Bax, Wes Becker, Grace Ann Berry, Ray Folsom, Edward Hall, Joanne Haynes, Ron Haynes, Pat Kergo, Roger William Ludke, Ronald E. Morris, Gerald Schmaltz, Suzanne Shriver, Irene Sprick, and those that we name in our hearts. Trusting in your mercy, thanking you for the time that we had with those that we loved, and giving glory to you for their faithful witness. Amen. We now continue with our closing song.
Behold, he comes. Right.
Please have a seat. I love that song. It kind of puts you, it puts everything in perspective, doesn't it? I mean, we're so focused on the world and all the troubles now, and to remember the day that is coming is kind of a good thing. All right. Let's see here. First of all, we have a bunch of announcements. The announcements accommodating Pastor Josh's my illness is Adult Bible Studies Room 105, taught by Pastor Bill. We will not be having First Communion class today. I am so sorry, kids. But I'll make you work twice as hard next week. All right, very good. And we will be putting the interviews on next week as well, so plan to eat pizza next week this time. I'm so sorry about today. What else is there? The angel tree is in the back. You can grab the ornaments off to buy gifts for people who are in need this season and bring them back by December 3rd. And Sandra Canada needs help hauling food items out to her car. So if somebody, you know, able-bodied could go over and give her a hand, that would be amazing. Let's see. Dine to Donate is tomorrow. We're fundraising to build another house now. Because while we were not able to go last month, they still built the house without us. I know. How dare they? No, it's wonderful. And so that, yeah, there's no way we wanted to short that family a house. That's not a thing we were going to do. So we got to make money for another house. It's just the way it is. So that's Dine to Donate tomorrow at Camilla's. Voters meeting is Sunday, November 19th. And the bake sale, Lutherans for Life, amazing people out there. They are raising money for a family who is, a young family who has children and is in need, and we want to give them the things that they need this season. I'm hoping I'm making some kind of sense here. I just don't know. I'm in a cloud. But the thing is that they're doing the bake sale today. So please be generous. Go buy stuff to provide for this family. And, you know, if a fringe benefit of that is you get to eat something sweet, so be it. All right. Very good. The other thing is this. We had a rather notable staffing thing happen this week. Kathy Frazier, our school director, went off on maternity leave and because she had another baby. I guess that's how that works. And while she was on maternity leave, she just felt led that she should be a stay-at-home mom. And I love that for her and for her children, although it's a little harsh for us right now. But that's okay. God provides. And so the thing is this. Let's see. I saw her here someplace. Tanya Cuneo is going to be our child care director. Where are you? There she is, right there in the middle. Okay, Tanya, this is the lady who should have been doing this job a long time ago, but she was fighting God, and I totally get that because I've done this myself. And so she is an incredibly gifted person and very, very capable of grabbing this one by the horns and doing a really great job. And her right-hand lady is going to be Jennifer Brevard, who is one of our incredibly, I might be biased, incredibly gifted child good teachers, very enthusiastic and very creative at what she does. And she's going to be taking on helping the shepherd the early child care teachers so that they can continue to improve and do the very best for our children. And so that is the team that is going to be heading forward. As far as in the school, we are in desperate need of somebody who is really competent and able to lead us, and God has provided us that person as well. Diana Mears is going to be kind of stepping up. She was our advisor, I'm going to call it because I can't think of the right word. She was our advisor for accreditation. And incredibly competent, incredibly smart, gifted lady, just unbelievable. And she has very graciously made herself available to be present at our school for probably 2 or 3 days a week and just to help us with accreditation. That's an enormous monster that happens to be happening this year, and so she's going to help us shepherd through that, and she's going to be present to our teachers for other counsel and advice and stuff. And so God's good. He just keeps providing. You know, we always think that we've got it all under control, and then when everything falls apart and we realize we're really not in control of anything, then God shows us who's in control. And he just continues to provide for his people. And so praise God for these incredible, wonderful people. And let us pray for them, because we need to support these people in prayer. They are doing ministry for us. They are literally doing our work. And so let's pray. Let's continue. Pray for them. And I'm not just saying now, I'm saying continually pray for them. Because the work that they carry is not always light. All right? Very good. With that, I believe that is all the announcements I have for you today. Just a short list. All right. With that, my friends, God's blessings on your week. And I will say goodbye to you there today, right from here. Good morning. How are you? What? Oh, wait. Is there something I forgot? I was kind of wondering about that, because you seem strangely healthy today. Yes, Irene was not the one we were supposed to pray for. It was Amelia. Excellent. Amelia Sprick. Okay, excellent. That was a bit of a relief. I did have to check and make sure you were still sitting there. Excellent. God's blessings on your week, folks.